As the Psalms say, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. And Holy Spirit, as you have continually been with us, come now and speak through your word and my words and show us with new eyes who our Savior is. In Jesus' name, amen. So I ask you to put yourself in the gospel reading and see what you see and hear what you hear as we, and we're going to look at some of those characters, the Pharisee, Jesus, and the woman. And I'd love to take the time, but I don't think we have today, to say, what did you hear? What did you see? Where were you? And no matter what you saw, what you heard, what you saw, and where you were, I hope that you were able, like the woman, to get to the feet of Jesus. Because something magical there happens. And to me, that is what our faith is. It is about finding Jesus' feet. And that's what that woman was able to do, and something that Simon was not able to do. So we're going to talk about that. So no matter where you are in your life today and where you are, I hope that you're able to find Jesus' feet. And we're going to talk about that. So first, the first character we're going to talk about is Simon. He's called Simon the Pharisee. Don't confuse that with Simon Peter, the disciple. Different people. Common name, Michael, George, James. A lot of people named him. So Simon the Pharisee. What is a Pharisee? Well, there were four major groups. They were religious and political, tied together. Usually bad things happen when that happens, right? In Jesus' day, four major groups. So we have, you know, two major political parties and then a bunch of others that you forget exist until you vote for president and you see them all there, right? We have two major ones, but with churches we have, you know, there's a lot of different denominations, Catholic, Orthodox, Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist. In Jesus' day there were four and they were all kind of wrapped together. One was the Pharisees. Another was the Sadducees. You might have heard that name in the Bible. Another is the Essenes. Those are the Qumran people, wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the other were the Zealots. Don't have time to go through all those, explain them another time, but today we're talking about Simon the Pharisee. Pharisees, we often kind of give a bad rap. We use it as a put-down. You're a Pharisee. And that usually means the way you live doesn't match what your mouth says about what you live. You know, walk and life don't match. But that group, that doesn't necessarily apply to them. Pharisees in Jesus' day, that group, they were a spiritual renewal movement. They looked around at God's people at that time and said, they're all drifting away from God. We want to call people back to follow God's word. That's a good thing. They were a renewal movement saying, we want to follow what God told us. And so they were, you might call them a conservative group that wanted to follow God's commands and God's word in the Old Testament and be faithful. And they were everyday people. It was a very blue-collar, grassroots movement. And there were Pharisees likely in every town. And if there was a group whose beliefs and teachings matched closely with Jesus, it was actually the Pharisees, which makes it really interesting that he has such hard words for them. So Simon invites Jesus to his home, which is a very big deal. To eat a meal together is to share something very, very special. And other Pharisees have already written Jesus off, but Simon's, he's reasoned, he's giving him a chance. So he invites him over for a banquet, basically a real festive affair. And homes there have rather open doors. No, might not even be a door on it to close. And so people can kind of wander in and out and see what's going on and leave. Many of you have experienced this in other countries. You're at somebody's house and then all of a sudden people just kind of wander in and out, and that's how it works. But people know who's allowed to wander in and who's allowed to, you know, wander back out quickly, and that would be the woman. You see, by all hints, by all clues, by all plain words in this story, she was a prostitute. She was known, her sin was public, everybody knew. Now, are you and I all that different from Simon the Pharisee? Are there people that you look at, and because of where they work or what they do, you don't just look at, but look down at? Are there people that you look at differently because of maybe the neighborhood they live in or the way they live their life? Or are there people that you don't want your children to hang out with because they'll be influenced poorly? Or are there people that seem like a threat to your own goodness? If I spend too much time with them, I'll look bad. Are there people that you'd rather see in private but not in public? Let's say you go downtown for a nice lunch and sit down at Butch's, and they have those, you know, tall windows right on 8th Street and everybody can see walking by. And you're there for a nice lunch, and say a homeless man who hasn't showered in days comes up and tries to have a conversation with you, and then he notices your shoe's untied, and he reaches down and ties your shoe in front of everybody walking by. Would you want him to leave as soon as possible? Are there people that you look at, and because of maybe it's their skin color or their ethnic background, and you write a little story in your head of what they must be like, and then they're a little less than you? And if I'm being honest, the answer is yes. I have a lot more of Simon in my heart than I want to admit. Maybe you do too. So then Jesus turns to him and says to him, Jesus knows this is going on, he sees it, and he says, hey, let me tell you a story. So there's two people, and they owe debts to a lender. One owed just a few months of pay, the other owed 2 years' salary. And the lender forgave both. Who's going to love the lender more? Simon kind of said, yeah, well, I guess the guy who, you know, owed 2 years' salary. Jesus says, yeah, bingo. Can't you see what's going on here? You, Simon, you're a good man. You want to follow God, but it's your goodness that's actually keeping you from God. You're too proud to see it in your own heart. And she has nothing to hide behind. Her sin is great, and it's all forgiven. And then Jesus actually turns to her and looks her right in the eye and says, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You see, to the degree that you see how much you've been forgiven is the degree that you will forgive others. If you don't think you've been forgiven much, hey, God, you know, I did a few bad things back in the day. Yeah, I know, sorry, but I'm pretty good now. How much are you going to forgive to others, and how much are you going to hold back when others hurt you? To the degree that you see how much you've been forgiven is the degree that you will forgive others. But aren't those words from Jesus the words that we all want to hear? Don't we all want Jesus to look at us and say, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I need that. And yet too often I find myself putting on Simon the Pharisee's shoes and actually refusing that. Well, let's look at the woman. Yes, she was a very well-known prostitute in that village. She was notorious for her lifestyle and for her blatant disregard for God's will. Yet she knew the one thing most important in life, and that was how to get to Jesus' feet. And because she got there, she walked away forgiven. She knew her sins, she felt her shame, and she felt the laser looks from all the people. If looks could kill, there were 13 people that killed, 12 disciples, plus Simon. She knew she didn't belong. And if anyone was to crash the banquet and walk in, it would never be her. Far too unworthy. But yet she knew where to find forgiveness and where to find life. And so she threw all of those things aside and got to Jesus' feet, and she wept. And she poured this very expensive perfume on them and wept on Jesus' feet and wiped it with her tears with her hair, and she just didn't let anything get in the way from getting to where she would find forgiveness and life, because there's only one that can truly give it, and it's Jesus. And she had no self-righteousness or community standing to bolster spiritual ego and to look good to other people. She had no self-respect to boost herself. She had nothing. But yet she had the only thing that mattered, and that is she got to Jesus' feet. And she walked away forgiven and at peace and totally whole. Forgiveness by nature is that outrageous. We want to earn it. We want to deserve it. We want other people to earn it from us. It's free. It's free to you because it cost everything to Jesus. You see, sometimes I am Simon too often, more than I want to admit, but I really wish I were more like the woman. Not that I don't want to follow God, but to know where grace and forgiveness and life can be found and to go there no matter what other people will say, at the feet of Jesus. So if you can remember four F's today, you can remember this story. Find feet, forgiven, forgive. Find feet, forgiven, forgive. Think you can say that with me? Find feet, forgiven, forgive. Jesus' feet, which seems kind of strange to talk about, I imagine were calloused, working man's feet, walking man's feet, dusty and tan both from sun and from dirt. But it's those same feet that this woman cries on are the ones that have spikes driven in them. The ultimate love and the ultimate forgiveness for her and for you. You see, as Jesus hangs on the cross with spikes driven in those holy feet, he even forgives his enemies, those killing him. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't have any idea what even they're doing. And Jesus says that about you. He says, I forgive you, even when you don't know what you're doing. It's Jesus' feet that pour out the blood that forgives you. And Jesus' feet suffer the pain and the consequence of all of your sin and all of my sin. And it's those same feet that I want to follow on so closely that I'm stepping on the backs of Jesus' sandals. So what about you? What happens when you find your way to Jesus' feet? This morning we got to celebrate a baptism of a young baby to say that Jesus has claimed us, claimed Emmeline, claimed you, and washed you and killed the old self and made alive the new self by the Holy Spirit so that you do know the way to Jesus' feet. And his word will continually lead you there, and as we gather around Christ's table in a few minutes, his body and blood will feed you that very body that died for you. So when you look in the mirror, not the physical mirror, but the spiritual mirror, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see more of Simon the Pharisee, or do you see more of the woman? And when you take an honest look and an honest inventory of your soul in the mirror, who are you more like? And for me, the question that helps me answer that is, how hard is it for me to forgive other people? When somebody truly wrongs you, how hard is it? Do you just hold the grudge forever? Do you put it on a shelf and then pull it out every once in a while so you can kind of look at it and stew on it? Or are you quick to say, that hurt, that was wrong, I forgive you? That's what Jesus said to you. With his life and his death and his resurrection, he said, that hurt a lot and that was wrong, but I died for you. It's over. I forgive you. To the degree that you see how much you've been forgiven is the degree that you will forgive others. Or in other words, find feet, forgiven, forgive. All right, don't fall asleep on me. Find feet, forgiven, forgive. So too often I find myself like Simon, but my prayer is, Lord, help me to be like the woman and daily find my way to Jesus' feet. Because when I'm there, that's where you will hear these words, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. One more time. Find feet, forgiven, forgive. Amen.